neglected in the pulpit. It gets neglected by our own personal study. And we fail to realize just how important prayer is. The fact that millions of people pray would be an understatement. There are millions of people engaging in worship services just like this who pray. There are people of different religions, and I'm talking about Muslim and Hindu, who pray. But do we truly understand how important prayer is? Some prayers are to false gods. Some are to gods of wood and stone, the art of man's device. Some to the one true God, but in the wrong way, improperly done. Prayer is always a topic in our nation, always has been. And in this discussion, millions of people are ignorant concerning the subject of prayer. So what is prayer? Prayer is a desire of the heart expressed in words uplifted to God the Father. That's probably the best definition I've ever heard. A desire of the heart expressed in words uplifted to God the Father. But there are several types of prayer. You say, well, what are they? Well, I'm glad you asked, because we're going to look at them. There's four types, actually. One of them is intercession. Intercessions is a type of prayer. It comes from the Greek word eutuxis. It is a lighting upon, a meeting with, a conversation. Vine tells us that it is a technical term used to describe the way you would approach a king. And what a great definition to describe the way that we would approach God. The way that we would approach a king. Prayer is indeed a meeting with God. Perhaps the greatest example of meeting with God is Jesus. In Matthew 14, verse 22, after John the Baptist had been beheaded. In Matthew 14, verse 22, the scripture says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone." Jesus just went up into a mountain apart by himself to communicate with his Father, to meet with his Father, to talk to him. This is a perfect example of intercession, a meeting with God. Turn to Mark chapter 1, verse 32. Mark chapter 1, verse 32. Again, we have an example of Jesus meeting with his Father. Mark chapter 1, verse 32. In the beginning of the gospel, Mark 1, verse 32, the scripture records, "And at evening, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed." Rising up early in the morning, a great while before day, and there he communicated with his Father. When is the last time we did that? When is the last time you got up an hour earlier than you usually do just to meet with God in prayer? Have we ever done that? Have we ever done that? Well, I don't know what to pray for. Well, we're going to look at that this week too. Why should I pray? We're going to talk about that this morning. In Luke chapter 6, verse 12, the scripture tells us that Jesus spent all night in prayer to God. All night. The whole night he stayed awake communicating with his Father. Have we ever done that? You know, it's amazing. We can stay up to talk with friends. We can stay up to talk with family. We can stay up to watch a movie until 3 o'clock in the morning. When is the last time we stayed up to communicate with God? Just to meet with God, our Heavenly Father. Turn to John chapter 11, verse 41. John chapter 11, verse 41. Again, this is just Jesus setting the example of intercessions, a meeting with God. John chapter 11, verse 41. We know this account. Lazarus had died. Jesus had come, and they begin to say, "Lord, if you'd only been here, you could have healed him." And he says, "Roll the stone away." In John 11, verse 41, "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." Again, you have an example of Jesus simply communicating with his Father. Father, I thank you that you heard me. I know that you always hear me. He's simply communicating and meeting with God. That's what this type of prayer is. This intercession, etouches, a lighting upon, a meeting with, communication with God. But there's another type of prayer, and that is petition. Petitions is a second type of prayer. Comes from the Greek word atima, means simply to ask. To ask. This type of prayer is an asking of God. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. 1 John 5, verse 14. We read these same words from John. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. In 1 John 5:14, the scripture records, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we simply bring our petition, anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. If we ask, we know that he hears what we ask. We know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Examples. The Bible is full of examples of this type of prayer. Simply an asking of God. Turn to 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. We have an example of this type of prayer. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. King of Israel as a young child, not knowing what to do or what to say. So he goes to Gibeon and he offers 1,000 burnt offerings to God. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. And in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give you. Did you hear that? God said, ask what you want. Simply make your request. Verse 6. Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. Thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. What did Solomon do? He simply asked God for wisdom. He asked God for the understanding and knowledge to judge this so great a people. He simply asked for it. And God gave him his request. It pleased God that he asked for this. Another example is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. I'm not going to read all these names. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Beginning in chapter 1, you have a lineage from Adam on down. But in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, among all of these names, among all of this history, one man stands out. His name is Jabez. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9. We are told that Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. His mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. The literal translation named Jabez was cause pain or to bring sorrow. But notice that God says he was more honorable than his brethren. For all intents and purposes, as far as what is recorded, he was an upright, righteous individual. One who feared God and obeyed God. Notice what it says. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my borders, and that thine hand might be with me, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. He was a righteous, honorable man who asked God for more. Oh, that you would bless me indeed, that you would increase my lands and my possessions, that you would be with me and keep me from evil. And God granted his request. Is it wrong to pray for more? Absolutely not. According to this, Jabez got his request. Why? Because he was a righteous man, an honorable man who feared God. It's understood. He simply asked God for it, and God granted his request. That's what a petition is. Are there things that are in your life that you're not quite sure how to handle? Situations that you need wisdom in? Why not ask God? Don't try to do it on your own, because that is the quickest way to fail. That's the quickest way to fail. Notice Jesus' instruction in Matthew chapter 6. Or Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Notice Jesus' instruction. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Or maybe I should say Jesus' teaching on prayer. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Jesus tells us, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Ask. Simply ask. Make your petition known to God, and it shall be given you. That is a promise from God. What do we know about God? Is it possible for God to lie? No. God cannot lie. And in this verse, God promises, ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Those are promises from God. Are we afraid to ask God? Are we afraid to simply take our petitions to Him? And we're going to talk about how God answers prayer Thursday. There are three answers God gives to prayer. We'll discuss that later on. But the fact is, He wants us to ask. In fact, Jesus tells us in Matthew 6, verse 8, that your Father knows what you have need of even before you ask Him. God knows what we need. He knows the desires of our heart. But He wants us to ask. He wants us to ask. You know, God isn't like us sometimes. Especially those of us walking through Walmart. Mommy, can I go to the toy department? Can I get this? Can I get that? Please, please, please. I want this. I want that. Come on, Mom. No. Mommy, please. Dad, can I have this? No. Dad, can I have this? And finally, you just get frustrated to the point you want to smack them. God's not like that. He doesn't get frustrated when we ask Him for things. He doesn't get frustrated when we communicate with Him in prayer. He wants us to ask. He wants us to ask. That's what petitions are. They are simply an asking of God. Then there's supplications. Supplications comes from the Greek word desis, which is a wanting, a strong desire, a strong need. Then an asking, a strong entreaty, a begging, a pleading to the one who can supply the need. It is closely linked to petitions, but it's a stronger form of petition. Supplications is a strong desire and then a strong entreaty to the one who can supply the need. The Bible is filled with examples of this too. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 9. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 9. The book of 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 9. While you're turning there, I'll give you the background. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 9. There was a man in Israel whose name was Elkanah. Elkanah had two wives. One was Peninnah, the other Hannah. Peninnah bare him sons and daughters. Hannah was barren. And when they went up to Shiloh to offer the sacrifices to God, that's where the tabernacle was at this time, was in Shiloh. But when they went up to Shiloh to offer the sacrifices, Peninnah would make Hannah to fret and worry and to be stressed and frustrated, saying, I have children and you don't. God has blessed me and not you. I'm better than you are. And it caused her great pain and sorrow of heart. In verse 9 of 1 Samuel chapter 1. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. Did you hear that? Did you hear what was the emotions that were going through her? She was in bitterness of heart. She was extremely sorrowful. This was a problem that was just overwhelming emotionally. Verse 11. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou would indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long will thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And if you read the rest of the account, we know that God blessed Hannah with a son. She called his name Samuel, literally heard by God. Why? Because she poured out her heart before him. She begged him for this. It was a strong entreaty to the only one who could supply her desire. Her need. Have you ever prayed like that? Have we ever prayed like that? She poured out her heart before him. All of her love and her emotion and her strength, all of herself into one agonizing cry to God. Jesus is another example of this. Turn to Matthew 26, verse 36. Matthew 26, verse 36. Matthew 26, verse 36. This is a familiar account. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. I appreciate you opening your Bibles and follow along. It shows you're interested. Matthew 26, verse 36. In Matthew 26, 36, the Scripture tells us, Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. And he said unto the disciples, Sit you here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Did you hear the words of Jesus? My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry here and watch with me. His emotional state was extreme. He was in a state of grief and heaviness and sorrow, realizing and understanding what he was about to go through. That being his trial and his crucifixion. Verse 39. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Do you hear the emotional state of Jesus? The pain and the suffering and the mental anguish that he was going through, begging his Father, if it is possible that you can save your creation without my death, please do it. But if that's what it requires, thy will be done. In Hebrews 5, verse 7, it tells us that it was a supplication of Jesus at this moment. As the Holy Spirit wrote of this exact moment in Hebrews 5, verse 7, He speaks of Jesus, who in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto Him that was able to save Him from death, and was heard in that He did. This was a supplication of Jesus. It's also associated with request. In Philippians 4, verse 6, Paul says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." This is a supplication. It is a strong desire. It is a strong desire for a need. And then a strong entreaty, an almost pleading, a begging. Please, please help me. That's what supplication is. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'll show you one more example of a supplication. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. One more example of a supplication. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. The Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth, in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 tells us, "And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Now what this thorn in the flesh was, we really don't know. Some say Paul had poor eyesight. Some say it was the enemy, the Jews. We just don't know exactly what it was. But whatever it was, Paul wanted to be rid of it. And he says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. For this messenger of Satan, I begged the Lord three times, remove this thorn in the flesh. Remove this pain. I can't handle this. Please take it away. Please." Three times. "He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." You know what the Apostle Paul's reaction was? "What? What are you talking about? I asked you to take this away." And Jesus said, "No. No. I'm not going to remove the thorn in the flesh, but I tell you what I will do. I will give you the strength to persevere. I will give you the patience to keep going." So Paul says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." When I am at my weakest point, Paul says, that's when I learn to lean on God. That's a supplication. Then there is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is another type of prayer. The Greek word eucharistia simply means to give thanks. The book of Psalms is filled with words of thanksgiving, with prayers of thanksgiving. Turn to Psalm 8, verse 1. Turn back to the book of Psalms with me and find Psalm 8, verse 1. Psalm 8, verse 1. Psalm 8, verse 1. In Psalm 8, verse 1, we have a psalm of David. Listen to this. Our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Drop down to verse 9. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. How simple a prayer is that? But it exalts God. It acknowledges His power. And it is a psalm of praise. Look at Psalm 9, the next psalm, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 9, verses 1 and 2. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. David spent much time simply praising God, offering his thanksgivings and his praise to the Most High God. Look at Psalm 24. Psalm 24, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 24, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 24, verses 1 and 2. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. You're in Psalm 24, drop down to verse 7. Psalm 24, verse 7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Flip over to Psalm 34, verse 1. Psalm 34, verse 1. Psalm 34, verse 1. Again, a psalm of David. I will bless the Lord at all times. Did you hear that? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. His praise shall continually flow from my lips. What flows from our lips? Whining, complaining, grumbling, griping, gossip, lying. I'm not saying everybody does it. I'm just asking you. What flows from your lips? David said his praise will flow from mine. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Let us praise Him together. Let us offer thanks together. Let us magnify the Lord. The Apostle Paul began many of his letters with, I thank my God, or some variation of that. Read Romans 1, verse 8, 1 Corinthians 1, 4, Galatians 1, 5, Colossians 1, 3. I thank my God. I thank God. Thanks be to God. Have we ever prayed like this? Have you ever approached the God of heaven and earth in prayer and not asked one thing from Him? Don't get me wrong. But believe the fact that God wants us to ask. He desires our petitions and prayers. But have you ever spent time with God in prayer simply saying, thank you. Thank you for your love, your mercy, your blessings. You know, brethren, we could spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, thanking God for His blessings, and it still wouldn't be enough. It still wouldn't be enough. How often do we simply say, thank you? These are four types of prayer. All prayer, no matter what you do, all prayers fall into one of these categories. Either intercessions, petitions, supplications, or thanksgiving. Maybe you knew this before. Maybe you have a better understanding of it now. That's my hope. We have a little time? Any questions? Ask Mo. Now, if you have any questions, feel free to ask. I don't know everything, but I'll do my best to give you a Bible answer. If you have a comment, please make it. Wow, I must have done good. I appreciate your attention.